Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God from today's Holy Gospel found in Matthew chapter 22. But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." This is God's word. Parents, have any of your children's ever tried very obviously to sneak something past you? Talking about that moment when your kid walks past and there's definitely something in his pocket or behind his back. You stop him. You ask him, "What is that? What are you hiding?" And your child comes back with the wisest, most sage answer of all time, right? "Nothing." Kids think they can pull the wool over their parents' eyes, but parents have a thing called intuition. They know when their children are trying to sneak something past them. And your kids may get one past you now and then, but by and large, it will catch up to them. I am 42 years old. My mother still knows on the phone when something's up. When something's bothering me, and she's not letting it drop until I tell her. We think we can fool our parents, but when we try to fool our parents, we end up the fool ourselves. Why do we think that we can fool our Heavenly Father? Because all of us, by virtue of knowing that he is God and we are not, should know that he cannot be fooled, but that does not stop us from putting our best efforts forward. We can excuse the Pharisees and the Herodians for thinking they can fool Jesus in our gospel today because they didn't believe that he was God. They thought he was a fraud. They would have never expected him to be someone who could not be fooled. It says in our gospel, they set out to try to trap him, to lay a snare for him, essentially. They want to get Jesus to say that they shouldn't either not pay taxes to Caesar, and then he becomes a rebel against the government, or to say that they ought to pay tribute to Caesar, in which case he comes across as not saying we should give honor and worship to God. What they are fools to believe is that Jesus is ready to say we can serve both God and Caesar. The two do not have to contradict the other. Paying a tax to Caesar does not equate to somehow giving Caesar worship that ought to be reserved for God. The Pharisees and the Herodians, the people who are loyal to King Herod, they fail in their attempts to trap Jesus. In thinking they can fool him, they become the fools. Do you take Jesus for a fool? Do you take his Heavenly Father and your Heavenly Father for a fool? God grant that we never would, but then why do sinful people continue to try to justify themselves before God or act as though he cannot see how we live or know our every thought or know the desires of our hearts? You know how it's said that God knows the number of hairs upon our head? That actually comes from Jesus' own words in the Gospels, where he says, "Does not God know the number of hairs upon your head? Are you not of more value than sparrows, than birds?" He says it to comfort you, to let you know that God knows you. But there's another side to that coin as well. If God knows you well enough to know how many hairs are on your head, he knows you enough to know the thoughts of your heart, every evil intention, every passing wicked inclination that has gone through your brain. Yes, your Lord God knows you better than you know yourself, and that ought to humble us, if not terrify us. You cannot fool God. You cannot justify your sin. You cannot excuse your sinful actions. Oh, I'm not really gossiping about my neighbor. I care about him, and that's why I'm talking about what's going on in his life. Nonsense. Anytime you damage your neighbor's reputation with your voice, with your mouth, that's the eighth commandment. That is sin. Or when you see your neighbor's new truck in his driveway, you think about how you really ought to not have that truck, how you deserve to drive a nicer truck than he does, how you deserve better things in this life. That guy's a bum. He's a bad husband. He's a bad dad. That is coveting. That is a sin. We have this saying that gets thrown around, and it's not a very helpful saying, where we say God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. What's misleading about that is it kind of leaves out an important part. We are not saying that God somehow, well, he doesn't like what I do, but he just goes on loving me anyway. Every parent knows that doesn't fly. You love your children, and when they do bad things, what do? You correct them. You discipline them. You instruct them. Because you do not tolerate them going on doing the thing that is bad. God is not some aw shucks dad up in the corner saying, "Oh, they're people, they're doing bad things, but golly, I love them anyway, so I'm just going to let them go." God hates sin, and he cannot tolerate sinners. So he redeems them. He saves them. Sinners who come just as they are, with no pretenses, no excuses, no false assumptions that they can hide from God or trick him into thinking they're not as bad as they really are. The same God who knows your thoughts, your wickedness, your shame, sent his son to die for you to take every bit of that sin away. Give up any notion you have of fooling God, of hiding anything from him, or excusing who you are, what you've done, and what's in your heart. Instead, dear friends of Jesus, lay all of it out before him. Because he sees it anyway. He knows that fear you're carrying with you right now, that you think, well, no one else around me can see it,
I'm putting on a good face this morning? He knows. That thing you're kidding yourself about, that you know his word forbids it, he knows that too. That thing that is giving you shame years and years and years after the fact, he knows that too. You can't fool him, so don't fool yourself. He chose to die for you. For all of it. So you might as well lay it all before him. And be covered in the blood that he sheds for you. There's no fooling God. There are only people like you and me who are made into fools ourselves when we try. We can't rationalize our sin. We can't excuse it. But we can bring every bit of it before the one who sees and knows the hearts and thoughts of men and women everywhere. That day, as the Pharisees and Herodians tried to trick Jesus, they wanted to trick him into somehow pitting God against Caesar. And Jesus, who can't be fooled, reminded them that God works through it all. God accomplishes his purposes in all of it. So, no matter what Caesar ends up sitting in the White House or in the governor's mansions of our country or in legislative chambers or on judges' benches, you have a God who can't be fooled. Do not think that somehow his plans have been derailed, that somehow he does not see and know all things, that he is not somehow failing to do what he does. Jesus is forgiving sins. His blood covers all of them. That hasn't stopped. It will not stop. That's what Jesus does. So, give thanks to God that through Jesus you no longer need to be a fool. You are no longer left to your own devices to try and hide who you are from our God. Bring exactly who you are and what you are. If you're like King David and you're an adulterer and a liar and a murderer, and actually you are all those things because we all break all the commandments, idolaters and gossips and filled with greed and jealousy and lust of all sorts, wicked, evil people we are, we come with all of it to be washed in the blood of the one who dies for every bit of sin. As King David sang in what we use as our offertory, Psalm 51, which we'll sing in just a moment here. He sang in Psalm 51, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." David was able to sing that song when all his sin was laid bare. When he realized he too had tried to fool God and bring himself before God as someone different than what he really was. But when David the sinner came before God, the joy of salvation was restored unto him, and his heart was cleansed and he was made new. And so are you, dear friends in Christ. Because you have a God that can't be fooled. He knows exactly who you are, and exactly who you are is someone loved by your Father, that the Son would die for you and for every sin you carry this day and every sin you will carry going forward. It's all paid. Don't fool yourself. Rejoice in the one who has died for foolishness and given life to us this day and for always. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.